Hey, what's going on, everybody? Mark Berry coming at you here from beautiful Southern Oregon, out at the old studio. And hope you enjoyed that three-part DB history series Trav shared with all of us. So what we're doing now in that spirit is diving back into the archive. A little over a year ago, we sat down with Ron C., a.k.a. Ron Watkins, a.k.a. DJ Ron C. Just had him on the red couch for a little bit while he was down here dialing everything up for the Renton stand. He is currently the owner-operator of Renton, which they call Ronton. And just had a great dive into his story. He's been around for quite a while in Eugene with Jonah, regional manager there for a little bit. And Brant, actually, believe it or not, was the one that hired him here in GP as a graveyard guy. And I will say one thing about Ron. He has my vote for the greatest laugh in Dutch Bros, company-wide. So give it a listen here. I think you'll agree. Greatest laugh of all time, Ron C.
I'm going to try to be as cup-free as possible.
That's great.
If you go through three paper cups a day, which on average I do, 5 days a week, and for only, say, like 48 weeks out of the year, because sometimes I'm like, I just, you know, don't do it during the week, whatever. Just for the cost of the cups, it's $180 a year on just cups. So I'm like, I could save this company.
That's true.
$180 a year.
So I went and I got this mug.
Where'd you get that mug?
At an estate sale.
Not in San Francisco.
Oh, no, but it's from San Francisco. But I got it at an estate sale locally here in Grants Pass. 50 cents. Boom. I'm up $179.50
That's amazing.
For the year right now. Brant, so that's what I'm doing.
Thanks for being a hippie.
I'm only doing it for the money. Welcome to the Dutch Bros Podcast. My name is Brant Boersma. I'm here on the red couch today, and it is an honor to have my good friend, Mr. Ron C. with us.
You.
Good morning. Is it still morning?
It's not anymore. It's
good afternoon.
We have curtains in here now to keep it dark.
I'm tired.
You could sleep in here all day.
Love it. I'm going to.
We've caught Phil a couple times. He's on the red couch, like, curled up. He has a doll. It's weird. I mean, it's. Do you guys remember those Garbage Pail Kids?
Love Garbage
Pail Kids. He has one.
You're thinking
its
of a cabbage
name is
patch,
Earl
kid.
Errol. Earl Errol has like the tattoo of on its butt, you know? I never understood that, but it's like the creator of Cabbage Patch Kids decided to tattoo every Cabbage Patch Kid on the butt.
Yeah.
With his name.
That would not fly nowadays.
No, it's weird. But anyways, yeah, so Phil has Earl Errol. It's a little redheaded, kind of, well, it's like an auburn-haired boy.
It's Earl. Strawberry Cabbage Blonde. Patch Come
kid.
On. Let's
Strawberry Blonde Cabbage Patch Kid. He's had it since he was a little boy, I think, and it just helps him take naps.
That's
I apologize. Nose. Mark is also on the microphone over there. He's wearing headphones so he can hear himself because he's very...
He loves to hear himself.
He's a... What did they call that? Narcissist? He's a narcissist? Truth is, he was a drummer. Still is.
Yeah.
And see, his hearing's not that great.
That is the mine. Truth.
So he actually walks around all day long with the iPhone plugged in. He's like, hey, can you talk into this?
I can't hear you.
Huh? I'm too young for a hearing aid, but I need something.
you are.
You're never too young for hearing protection, though.
No, yeah, protect that.
I have been using ear plugs when I
always
have band practice, though, or play shows. I've been jumping on.
Those?
Yeah, it's nice.
Good
I need
you.
To take a page from your book, Mark.
The problem is, with the earplugs, like, my drumming sounds so much better. And then when I hear it not, I'm like, oh, dude, I suck.
Like, dang it. This is what everyone else is hearing?
It's like, yeah, just
everybody
sounds try
these
more
on.
Tight, you know?
Everybody. The crowd gets a set of earplugs for my show.
This show's going to be unreal if you wear earplugs. I have
I
to say,
it,
the
dude.
Garbage Pail Kids were the bomb.
They
you did
were.
Say
garbage
that at
pail
first.
Garbage Pail Kids were way better than Cabbage Patch.
I think I just found all my Garbage Pail Kids stickers and
really?
Cards. Yeah. I've been eBaying like crazy.
Have you really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I love eBay.
Okay. Let's talk about your discovering Garbage Pail Kids again. What's your deal? What are you doing?
I was just unpacking some boxes because we're getting ready to move and I'm finding all this old nostalgic crap that I'm like,
beautiful.
Why do I still hold on to this?
Right.
Oh, yeah, because they're worth a lot of money and I'm going to put them on eBay someday.
You don't want to miss out.
When I'm like 70, you know, those could be worth like $2 a card.
Where are you moving?
We're moving to Renton, Washington.
Renton, Washington.
Ronton.
Ronton, Washington.
Hashtag Ronton. Let's get it going.
No, but now, okay, so... For the Dutch nation that doesn't know about this, DJ Ron C., he's been a DJ for Dutch Bros for a long time. He's been probably the same amount of time an employee for Dutch Bros.
Just about.
Similar.
Yeah.
You know what? Side note, Ron, one of his very early DJing gigs, my wedding. He DJed my wedding, dude.
I think your wedding might have been the first wedding I ever DJed. It was either yours or LeGrand and Jamie's. It was.
Oh, it was mine. It was before.
You were married before then, yeah. So there you go.
Oh, yeah.
You were the first. Hippies. Of course. You were the first wedding I ever DJed. Thank you for that. That was also my first rap performance, I think. But I knew the lyrics. I'm a much better rapper when I know the lyrics than freestyling.
That's okay.
Yeah, I know.
Not everybody can just talk off their brains and say stupid stuff.
Not like you.
No, I can. I'm an unbelievable random freestyler. Has no point. Were you in high school when you started working for DB here?
I was in high school when I first started working for Dutch, yes.
And so you started many moons ago, mm-hmm. and now you're going to be going up to Renton to open up Dutch Bros.
Yes, I am.
Super pumped.
Woo!
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
I do remember you working in the warehouse. That's kind of where you started.
I started working in the warehouse.
Did you kind of find your way into the warehouse by moving beans? Is that how it worked?
Yeah. Dane and Trav would get a group of us football players together and the semi would come in and we'd go and unload beans. And I think we each got like $20 and free lunch, which was bitching. And that's probably where I first started.
Yeah.
Got introduced to the warehouse.
And then what would you do in the warehouse exactly?
I was kind of cleaning the place up, scrubbing stuff, and also just making freeze mix for downtown and coffee house because they were so busy they couldn't make freeze mix. They put me on a machine, breaking my wrist, just pulling shots all day. Pouring it into gallon jugs, mixing it with sugar.
That's awesome.
Capping them.
Don't tell our secrets.
Okay, sorry.
and also a little bit of pixie dust.
Yeah, a little love.
Everyone's heart fly. And who hired you in the stands?
I think that was my good friend, Mr. Bernd Borsma.
Oh, gosh, he's handsome.
He is handsome. Handsome devil.
Yeah.
All that diet that we started back then, man, it's done you well all these years later.
Yeah, it serves me a lot. It's the Braun diet. It's Brent and Ron diet combo.
Yeah.
The Braun diet.
Drink lots of water.
Just drink water.
Yeah. Drink water the rest of
the... Eat whatever you want. Just drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
You pee a lot.
You do.
I hired you on to be a graveyard guy for me. I was managing the Agnes location here in Grants Pass. It was our first 24-hour location. Was Luke Norby still...
Luke
working?
Was there on and off, I feel like. Yeah, he was working.
Because I remember my first graveyard employee was Luke, and I think it drove him mad. He went kind of wacko.
You're responsible for
that. Explains it all.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
But now he's used that madness for his own good, which is awesome.
Yeah.
He's doing really well in New York now. But it was always kind of a hard thing to find a graveyard guy, and then you saw an opportunity to get in, and so you took it.
Absolutely.
Kind of fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Good old days.
It was a weird time working right off of that I-5 exit late night. You'd see some weirdos, man.
Yeah. There was a little homeless community that kind of was right behind us.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's nice, and listen, I don't advise this to anybody out there, but when you have a 24-hour stand, that means you never have to open. So that's awesome, you know, because it's always open. So if you're ever just late, you just make sure the graveyard guy's like still alive.
He's cool with, you know, being there an extra 15 minutes.
Like, hey,
or
bro,
something.
You bring a breakfast burrito. You know, when you bring a breakfast burrito, it
all is good.
You know, it covers a multitude of sin.
You're not wrong.
Breakfast burritos.
With some picante.
Oh, man. So now you worked at the 24-hour stand for a while. And then what was your journey from there?
I ended up going up to another 24-hour stand in Eugene, 7th and Olive. That was back in 2003, 2004 when I moved up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been up in the Huge for a long time now.
For about 12, 13 years now.
Working with Jonah Drew.
Yeah, that guy.
I used to say Jonah Drew a Borsma.
A Borsma?
Jonah, cool, because his middle name's Drew, and it was like, oh, well, Jonah Drew a Borsma.
Jonah Drew a Borsma.
So ask him next time you see him, you know, which I'm sure will be in the next couple days.
What did you draw, Jonah?
Ask him, hey, can I see any of those pictures that you drew?
And I'll be like, man, that's a good-looking Borsma. That must be Brant.
Yeah, what is that? And it's no, he's like, no, that's a picture of a dog. Well, you live up in Gene. You don't live with Jonah, but you lived up there for a long time now.
Yes.
You just worked graveyard up there.
Graveyard in Eugene?
Graveyard.
I didn't work graveyard in Eugene until I managed the stand up there. I was just like the afternoon, sometimes nights, sometimes mornings, wherever Jonah needed me.
Because
he was managing 7th and Olive where I went.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah. Okay.
And then so Jonah ended up taking over Eugene, I don't even remember, a long time ago.
2008. Yeah.
And then you kind of became his right hand. You kind of always have been Jonah's right hand dude.
Yeah. Back when he would work at the coffee house, I'd close down after him and he'd make a mess for me, spray whipped cream everywhere for me to clean up.
Punk.
Be like, you're going to do those dishes? He's like, no, not doing them. I'm not. So I'd do them for him. Yeah, I've always been Jonah's right hand man.
So you're making sure you clean up Jonah's messes. You kind of make sure that he's still alive.
Yeah, you know.
So you went into management.
Towards the end of 2005, that's when I got asked to manage 7th and Olive. And then managed 7th and Olive from 2005 to 2008.
Which is a 24-hour stand.
It is a 24-hour stand.
So now you understand where I come from.
Dude, I know. You taught me you well.
You also brought 10, 15 minutes. Burritos.
You know, I'm like, I really got to go do so. You're going to have to hold on. This is important.
I'm going to be a little late, but I got burritos.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, cool. Come whenever you need.
I got that chorizo burrito, man.
So you managed that 24-hour stand. And then from there, how did it look?
It looked great. It was
Did
awesome.
You go into after management, you became the regional, is that right?
Yeah, beginning of 2008 when Jonah came up and he was kind of the zone manager, he chose me to be his regional manager.
Yeah. You've been doing that for a long time.
Long time.
You've been interested in franchising for a while, but did you always kind of know, like, this is what I want to do?
It's always been a dream of mine to franchise even before I worked for Dutch Bros.
Yeah.
And sometimes that dream seemed unattainable, but I stuck with it and it came true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've been around the family forever. You've been, you and Jonah have been buddies since what?
Fourth grade is when we met each other, but I moved from a small town and we had different homerooms in elementary school and he was the other chubby kid. I was the chubby kid in one homeroom. He was in the other. And we used to have these contests where like we'd go to gym class, the separate homerooms together, and the whatever class got their shoes on first, they didn't have to run the lap. So it was like one chubby kid versus the other. I hate your homeroom. No, I hate your homeroom.
You just wore Velcro shoes or slip-ons.
Yeah, it was great. So we weren't really good friends in fourth and fifth grade, but then when we went to Fleming Middle School, where they put all the elementary schools together, we were the only two from Fort Benoist, so that's kind of when we became homies. Best friends. Yeah,
I remember you always coming over. You didn't live too far away from us.
No.
You were the first person, maybe it was because there was an age difference for me. You know, I'm a lot younger than you guys. but no, I remember you're the first person that ever was like, wait, you don't have to go to the store to buy a CD. You can just burn it off of the interwebs. This is
game changer.
Crazy. And I think you were like Napster. You were kind of.
And now I'm going to have the Recording Industry Association of America coming after me. Just, thanks a lot, Brand. That was like Napster beta version. No, of course not. I was showing everybody that music, that legally purchased music.
So, okay, this is going to sound really stupid. 2017, where we're in right now, one of my goals for this year, and this is, sorry, guys, it's my goal, so you don't even, I don't care what you say, is to expand my music library.
I can help you with that.
I will accept all offerings of help.
Sweet.
Usually when I'm in my rig, I always am listening to podcasts. So when I'm like, okay, like, oh, I want to go, like, I got some yard work, which is not very often. So like once a year, maybe.
Hold on, I got to call my landscape guy.
Yeah, hold on. Whenever I need to call my landscape guy, I put in my headphones. And I have playlists that I've kind of created. They need some updating. They
need some life.
So that's one of my goals, but I think
it's a good goal.
Thanks, it feels good.
Yeah.
How did Renton come about?
When they had the new way of franchising, I applied originally to get the Las Vegas franchise, and I ended up not getting that through the interview process, but they kind of showed me this is the search area where we plan on growing into. And I didn't really know that there was that many areas up in the Northwest still. And I know that Oregon's kind of out of the picture because we're pretty full here with franchisees and not too much new growth here. But I originally wanted to stay in the Northwest. So we were originally going for Federal Way. Then we realized Tacoma was available and we're super familiar with the Tacoma area, been up there a bunch. And then we ended up getting offered Renton, and it was something we couldn't really turn down. It was happening faster than Tacoma and Fife was. And my goal is always to be as close to Seattle as possible, and you just really can't get that much closer than
Why Renton. Seattle?
I love Seattle. It was the first big city that I ever visited with my mom, so it just always kind of had a place in my heart. We went in the Space Needle. We rode the monorail. We did Pike's Place. It was really,
really
cool.
It is a cool town. It's It's a cool town. It's a great city.
It's a little
city.
Cool town.
Luke
Seattle.
Lived there. And I went up there. It was the last thing I did before I got married. I took a Greyhound bus, read the Fellowship of the Ring, because it was the longest freaking ride in the world, man. Greyhounds are crazy. Yeah. So I went up to Seattle and ended up helping him move back down to Grants Pass. And this was like literally like a month before I got married. And that was like my first experience in Seattle. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's a cool city. I really like it. So Renton's moving. Possibly even by the time this podcast comes out, you guys will be open.
That's crazy.
Which is wild. Yeah. It's exciting.
Hi, future, everybody.
Hello. Welcome to the future. What is some of the things you're looking forward to the most at getting to this opportunity?
Just being able to share what I've learned in Grants Pass and the culture I've learned in Eugene and being able to take that up to such a big community. And I cannot wait to be able to rock in the new style of stands. Every stand I've ever really worked in has either been the Flying Dutchman, which is still kind of the smaller model now.
Yeah, or a mobile unit.
Yeah, 6 out of the 7 stands in Eugene are mobile units. Oh, so yeah. Being a, you know, big muscly guy that I am, it's kind of gets a little tight in those stands.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that a lot of people probably don't know is that closeness to the family and to the kind of the roots of DB as a whole. You've gotten to see it kind of grow and change and evolve. You've gone through the pains. You've gone through the joy. What has been one of the greatest lessons that you've kind of taken away from getting to see this thing from just being that little push cart on G Street to what it is today? Whew, that was a lot. Sorry, did you get that?
I got it. I think just... if you really put your mind to something and you really want something bad enough, if you keep taking steps to get there, you will get there eventually. And if it doesn't work, figure out something that will work. And I just feel like don't give up just because somebody tells you no. Like, make sure that you give it everything you've got, everything you can to get to your goals and your dreams.
What have been some of the events that have really kind of molded you through Dutch Bros?
Every time I go to a Coachapalooza, been to a few now, I feel like every single time it's like, how can it get better than it is already? And every time you guys seem to blow it away. So Coachapalooza is something that if you have a chance to go to, please do it. One other thing I'm really stoked that I got to do is I got to go test out the cold brew, go down to San Diego and try it all out. And I remember seeing the video of like Rez and Andrew. They got to go check out the Rebel facility in Kentucky.
Yeah.
So after watching that video over and over, whenever we hire a new employee, I'm like, you guys got to check out these videos on YouTube. And I got to see Rez and them go and do that. And I'm just like, man, that's so awesome. I want to be able to do that someday. And then I got to go down and do the cold brew thing. And I'm just like, that was awesome to be a part of Dutch Bros history.
Yeah.
I don't know if many people will get the opportunity to do that, but if you do, you definitely should take that up. Yeah. You guys used to do the little culture trips, you and Dave Morris and everything, and that was always fun. That was the first time we really got Eugene and Springfield Dutch Bros employees together too, so I want to thank you for that.
Yeah.
The bond has never been stronger since that day.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that's I think you could speak to is taking two different areas that are close together and being able to get on the same page. You guys do it so well in Eugene, which is that community engagement that you guys have, you know, and now you guys have blended in not just Eugene, but Eugene and Springfield to make a bigger impact on stuff. So I'd love to hear a little bit of like why that community is such a big part of what we do.
I mean, that is who we are involved with day in and day out. We get to know our customers, know the most personal stuff about them. So if you're going to be living somewhere, you got to be involved in the community. I mean, it just doesn't make sense not to be.
Yeah.
And the fact that we can make such a big impact selling a cup of coffee, and it's not just selling a cup of coffee, but what we do is unreal. And the amount of people that we reach, I mean, it's crazy.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. We see a lot of people. We sell a lot of coffee to people.
Yeah. What has been one of your favorite memories in the stands?
I remember I had this lady and her car broke down at 7th and Olive, and she was tripping out. Her husband was out of town, and I was like, oh man, she's stuck. I got to get going. I have a meeting or something going on, but I called AAA for her, and I was like, hey, my grandma, her car broke down. I got to go. Here's my number. Can you come get like tow her and take her to her house? And they came and got her. After that, she'd come through and see me just about every day. She'd go through and see my wife, Megan, when she was working. I called her Grandma Sherry from then on out. She was just kind of my adopted grandma. She invited us over for like a barbecue when my mom was visiting from Idaho. She gave me way too much money to water her plants. Like, she went out of town for a week and she's like, here's like $50. All you got to do is go water your plants. I'm like, right on. This is awesome. Just go water
anytime
some stuff.
You need to water your plants.
She's still a customer till this day. And that was like 8 or 9 years ago. Some of my most memorable moments are the people that you meet at the stand.
Yeah.
I've been to customers' weddings. Sadly, I've been to customers' funerals, but that's how close we get with our customers.
Yeah. And you never know this little action of going like, yeah, my grandma
needs a lift.
Yeah. And so calling AAA, you didn't have to do that by any means.
Oh, you got AAA? No, bummer.
Dang it. All right. I got to go see you later.
Yeah. See ya. Good luck. See ya, grandma.
You know, and it's too easy to miss those opportunities to actually make an impact on somebody. Yeah. And then, you know, from that, you don't always see the fruit that's going to be there in the future when you're cultivating. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I think that's something that gets overseen a lot nowadays because we live in a time where it's like anything is always accessible right now to us, you know? And so we don't think about like, well, sometimes relationships and all those, it takes time through trust, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a cool example of the kindness that you show or the effort that you show of serving someone else really has a massive benefit.
Yeah, it goes a long way.
Yeah, it goes a lot farther than you see. So Renton, Washington.
Yeah.
Rontown.
Rontown. Renton, also known as Ron.
Ron Seaton.
Why Ron C? Tell us about why Ron C.
Well, my name is Ron Michael Watkins. There's no C except for Michael.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, that makes completely sense, you know?
That's weird.
Forget the
right
M-I.
In the middle of my, well, kind of towards the middle in Michael is the C.
Ron, my C, Hale Watkins.
Yeah.
So back when I first started working for Dutch Bros at the warehouse a long time ago, LeGrand Davis told me that I reminded him of a rapper from Texas named Ron C for some reason. And so he just started calling me Ron C.
Yeah.
And it stuck.
Yeah. I think the first couple of years, I thought your last name was like Conway.
Ron like Andy. Conway.
You're Andy's brother.
Andy, we look, there is a resemblance.
There is
I think.
A little bit of resemblance.
Yeah. You know, back when Luke used to work at Agnes, people thought that I was Luke's little brother or Sean Provost. We
yeah,
all kind of look
I can
alike.
See that. Yeah. You're like Sean Provost and Luke's like love child. Go on their Instagrams, you'll see. No, that's funny. Yeah.
Ron C. I should just change my last name to C.
Yeah. Why not? Just the
Ron
letter C. Not
S-E-E
guys or not S-E-A.
Yeah, no.
The letter C.
Yeah, just
Ron
C.
Well, and that's what like everybody just kind of in Dutch Bros. Everybody knows you as Ron C.
Yeah,
and there's like not really a lot of Rons.
You
could just call him Ron, but nope, never.
I've DJed a few gigs for Dutch Bros, and when I get the paycheck, it's made out to DJ Ron C. And do you know how hard it is to cash a check at a bank when your legal name is not on there? So I've had to have like 3 or 4 checks reissued from HQ over the years.
Can you please send me another one? It's Ron Watts, please. Yeah, honestly, it would just be easier if you just change your name
to C. I think
C.
so.
Yeah, I don't think it's a great idea.
I know what I'm doing after this.
Yeah, dude. Sometimes you just gotta let go.
Yeah,
Watkins.
Did
is
you
like,
not watch Frozen?
Just let it go,
I've
man.
Never seen Frozen.
Just accept it. You're Ron C.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
The first 1,000 times. Okay, done. Before we finish this out, what would you say to anybody in the Dutch Nation that is just like, wow, dude? This guy went from unloading beans, coffee beans.
Yeah, I have to say, too, like, that's true old school Dutch. Like, the bean loads were a true rite of passage for like a decade.
Yep. They were brutal,
oh, yeah. I got
they
on
were,
on some of those
I, you know,
in
the
my younger days.
The worst ever is when you do them with Jameson. He's this big Samoan
He throws
dude.
You
and
attached
yeah,
to the bag.
He's like holding it with his, like, forefinger and his thumb. And he's like, hey, let me just throw this. And then you're like, ugh, and he's like, can you hurry up? Like, and so literally, yeah, it was, those things were backbreaking and brutal. Nowadays, they actually have this thing called a forklift. It's amazing. Who would have thunk?
We had a forklift back then too, but Jonah and I wouldn't use it to load beans. We'd put each other on the forks and like raise each other up in the warehouse when nobody was around. And I remember, I think I accidentally put his head through a light once and we're like, oh crap, dude, we're going to get in trouble.
Anyone.
Go quick, get to the ground. Let's go. It wasn't us. I remember
something
when we first discovered ice cream mix, there was a whole fridge full of it. Jonah and I are like, what's this? We crack one open and sip. We're like, oh my gosh, that is delicious.
Some cereal.
Yeah. Throw some chocolate Mac in there. Oh my goodness. It's the Dankens.
Yeah. If you actually guys want to try something unreal, just chocolate Mac and ice cream mix. It's unreal. Over ice.
So that's the OG Frost right there.
Exactly.
You guys discovered
that is,
it.
Wow. I never even thought of that.
But what would you say to somebody that, you know, is just starting out that like, you know, they have a whole world ahead of them. You started out young. We got a lot of people that are coming into this company and they're young. They have a lot of life ahead of them.
A lot of the youngins too, they're just like, man, I can't wait to do this. I'm like, you're so young. You got your whole life ahead of you and you're on the right track. Like if I had one thing to say, just set goals Doesn't matter what they are. Set goals, revisit them often. I usually do a goal board and I'll put it right in front of my sink where I brush my teeth and I'm burning that goal board image into my head. And do it every year, do it every 6 months, however often you need to, but set goals, get really specific with them, get all the details down and revisit it often. I don't know, I feel like the goal boards, they always seem like, oh, that's a crazy freaking goal. But I just found one because we're moving, packing up. I'm like, oh, those are my 2010 goals. And I nailed almost every single one of them. Even franchising is on there. And that was a long, long time ago. But it's mind-blowing how you don't even know that you accomplished your goals until you look back like, oh yeah, that was one of my goals. Wow, that's freaking crazy. Going to Amsterdam was one of my goals and I got to do that. And I just feel like you need to come up with endless limit goals. One saying that I love is if people don't laugh at your dreams, you're not dreaming big enough.
Yeah.
So just come up with those goals. Even if you're like, I want to go to space or something, there might be a way for you to go to space. You don't know. You can give $250,000 to Richard Branson and he'll take you up in the Virgin space thing. It's doable.
It's doable.
15 years ago, that wasn't doable. That was a laughable thing. Like, oh yeah, you'll never make it to space. Now you might be the first person on Mars. Who knows?
It's an investment in your own mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And going like, what? Who am I? What do I really want in this life?
Yeah.
And if you need to get rid of any of those CDs,
okay,
just send them down here. I need as much help as I can get.
$3 a piece and they're all yours, dude. Put your initials next to the list, next to the CD.
Well, I hear the sirens coming right story. Now. Yeah. Cool, man. Well, thank you, dude. We love you. And
thank
we're
you,
proud
Brent.
Of you.
Love
and
you, too.
Excited.
Thank you.
Excited for you. This
You're
awesome.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody.
All right, Dutch Bros.
You.
See you guys. Have a awesome time. Write down your goals. It's never too late to, what is that, Michael Fronte? It's never too late to start the day over, right?
Oh,
it's never too late to start the day over. Yeah. So go out there and write down your goals. And like Ron said, be specific with it. You don't want to be like just nonchalant. Make sure it's something that really tugs at you. If there's something, if there's a desire in your heart, there's a dream in your mind, write it down and go achieve it.
Yep.
And go 100%. Get a coffee in Ron Town.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Watch out. Be on the lookout. Yeah.
Come get a DJ Ron cold brew from me.
Boom.
Bam. All right, which is, or just get the Ron C, which is actually just ice cream mix.
Yeah, and Chuck Mac.
Can I get the Ron C?
It's on the secret menu.
It's on the secret menu. Yeah. It's just basically, we don't even put it on ice. It's just an 8-ounce cup.
It's not blended.
It. It's not. It's just
it's like a shot.
It's weird. Anyway, all right,
I'm a
man.
Weird guy, so woo! Perfect.
Well, we love you guys. Make sure you take care of yourself and dream big.
Peace.
Boom.